verse 6. In this regard, we're dealing here with the announcement from heaven. And it starts in verse 4. And it can only be God. It can't be angels. Okay? It has to be God speaking from heaven. Now get the picture. I haven't been able to piece this together perfectly, obviously, as to events and when they occur from the point of the rapture forward. I can do it in general terms and some specifics. But when you have all this going on simultaneously, for instance, when does the rider on the white horse get cranked up? That's a final effort to defuse, I believe, a dangerous situation with regard to the rumor of war, of nuclear war. And the United States will make its last effort to charm. They use occultic language to talk about getting an opponent or somebody to do what you want them to do. And there will be probably a not probably, but there will be looks like they have a breakthrough. And that we've diffused the whole situation. And the American people who stay here, now this is moving on into the trib. The people who stay here will celebrate and be screaming peace and security. And when they say peace and security, sudden destruction will come up them like a woman that's at the end of her term before she gives birth. To follow the birth analogy, the woman is the United States, there will be those who survive. So, anyway, sorry about that. The speaker here is God, telling believers, my people, to get out of the United States. This isn't going to be convenient for them. It's going to be a hardship. Both mentally and physically, financially, for people to just pull up stakes and head to the country of their national origin. So come out of her, my people. Unbelievers, probably they're not going to respond to this. They always have hope against hope. We've seen it over so many times, it's getting boring that all this evidence is shoved in their face. And they walk off from it right up to the end of the tribulation to their eternal doom. No amount of information, no amount of evidence. And this is all going to be done out in the open, out of the skies, out of all kinds of things, pre-announced, and here it comes. And people still will not turn to God. It's sick. We have similar analogies today with regard to things that exist, that they tell people that is so obnoxious and contradicts all good common sense, and people just keep running down the road. Christians are guilty of it. A lot of them. They're guilty of it too. Do you think that these evangelicals out there that believe in the rapture and the second advent and the millennium and all that, do you think that they just miss the two Babylons of Revelation and don't know who they are? They're going to avoid it like the plague. And right when we're in the thick of it in the history of the United States, I could have maybe understand it back. I even can't do that. Because I don't care where you lived in the church age. If you'd studied any of these scriptures, you'd say, this entity isn't in existence now. Or you might have got the idea if you were in the early beginnings of American history. You might have thought, this might just add up. And then as immigration got cranked, and then other factors, the materialism, commercialism, that's unprecedented in human history, the manufacturing and developing of products, it's unprecedented. Not that other countries don't make some good stuff, they really do. But this country not only made a bunch of stuff, it brings it in on an unprecedented, has brought it in on unprecedented levels. Not that that in and of itself is evil. It's what we do with it and our attitude. We make a god out of it. We pursue it to the exclusion of our spiritual well-being and even decent morals and these things. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it, you know. I've lived a while. And I've seen the deterioration. Hollywood was always the fast lane. Ooh, yeah. And the actors and actresses and the celebrities and this, you know, their lifestyles and everything. But that was Hollywood. Why'd they name it Hollywood? Check it out. Hollywood. There's so much occultic stuff around, it is not even funny. All of Washington, D.C. is built on Masonic architecture. The whole place, the whole thing. The whole layout. Why do we do that? It looks nice. It's functional. But why do we do that? We have leaders and people in high places that are into the secret societies, the dark side, the occultic, Masonic mess. Yeah, I saw a picture of President Truman. He's in full regalia in the picture, advertising it. That's counterproductive to an open and transparent society with responsible leaders and not doing stuff behind our backs, because the secret societies like to have secrets and fool people. How do you think we wound up with this NASA mess? And hardly a week goes by I don't see they've discovered something new out there. Yeah, it's just between your ears. That's all it is. We found a pink planet with a certain kind of wow. See, that isn't just some off the side deal. Oh, I'm sure NASA does some great things and does some great inventions and develops some nice products. But as far as this whole scenery of out there running around and the recent so-called moon trip, it's all fake. And if a civilization can do that and get by with it, that means the people themselves are corrupt. Because they do not come out and question this. And the politicians, as a rule, do not come out and say, this is garbage. This is evil. This is a lie. You know what a lie is? And so you take money that you say you're using for this, that's fraud. So when we get into, when you start peeling this back and deal with the sins of the nation, it's mind-boggling, really. And we have a history. We have, we'll see it maybe down the road. It's like a person that starts off and they have these tendencies. But they're not as bad as they become. But as time goes on, they get worse and worse. Awful. And that's what we've done. And we're going to push this until we're taken out. All of it. Not just a few of the things I mentioned. You know, I took an economics course. It's basic economics. It's part of the general thing you had to take at the University of Missouri. I never had them munch once that I can recall. And of course, I don't have perfect recall going that far back. But the thing is, they never told me about the details about the Federal Reserve System. They just said they gave you this. Why do we have inflation? Why is our national indebtedness growing? They never got to the heart of the monster, because they're trained professors to teach, and they can't be teaching that and be in a major university and have a job and cause the freshmen out there to start thinking for themselves. We weren't trained. We just automatically thought they won't lie to us about something like that. About science. They could be wrong about something on science and correct it, but they wouldn't lie on a big scale. But they have. It's like a false religion. And we just sat there and Let's go to the movies. They got, you know, and where it's promoted in some fiction type of a movie. You know? As the World Turns. That was an old soap opera. So there it is. It's embedded, right? World Turns. And all that becomes ingrained. And it'd be like anybody raised up in a particular religion and culture, and you just absorb it all. Mommy and daddy believes it. My friends believe it. That's what I'm taught in school. That must be true. And I'm too lazy to do any kind of original research to figure out if I'm being lied to. But maybe I don't mind being lied to, as long as I have wide acceptance by others. What? I want the truth. And nothing but the truth, so help me God. Have you heard that one? In a courtroom? You're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yeah. You swear on this Bible? Yeah. So God will speak from heaven. This would have to be early on, because it's telling believers to get out of America. So there'll be a rapture. There'll be a mass conversion of a bunch of Americans to salvation, including a big section of the Jewish American population. They will turn their back under God's plan on their citizenship and go to Israel and be talking constantly. And they will, in a very short time, they will be saying the very thing they never thought they would say. Righteous is the one who judges her. She's got it coming. She's earned it. Her sins have piled up and the wrath of God is coming. So this chapter, by way of review, begins dealing with economic Babylon, USA. It starts with an angelic announcement who lights up the whole world, announces the fall of the United States and how it has become this habitat for all kinds of demonism and unclean and hateful birds. People. Corrupt. And then it shifts. I heard another voice from heaven. Well, the voice from heaven, if it's going to order people to get out of here, they've got to hear it. They got a Bible, but this voice is telling them to exit. And other scriptures back it up. Go back to the nation that your ancestors came from. Of course, Jewish, that's easy. Go back to Israel. I saw a thing. It was a, you know how anti-Semitic the government of Turkey is? Whoa. They're as bad as Iran as far as being... it's not the religion, it's the hate they have. And one of their high officials said that Israel has become a burden too great for the nations. What would that mean? That if we can get rid of Israel, we'll be okay? Well, you can't. And the minute I read that headline, it was in one of the All Israel News deals this week, last week. And I remembered a verse in Zechariah chapter 12. I didn't remember the citation. I had to use my Bible Works thing and put in the word heady stone. Remember that, all of that from the deal. It will come about in that day. That's the day of the Lord. But we're leading up to it. That I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples who lift it. In the ancient world times, one of the contests they had, strong men would come try to pick up a lift of stone. See if they could pick it up. Real heavy stone. Some of them walk away ruptured. Nobody could pick it up. I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured. you're gonna stick your nose in there and try to solve the problems and do it. And of course, the last one is the Antichrist and the temple and all that, leading to Armageddon. And all these nations that come in there with their armies at the end, when God draws all these nations in there, they're all going to try to lift this heavy stone. They want, see, the prize on the earth from the satanic standpoint and from God's standpoint, the choice place on earth. There's a psalm that deals with it. Of all the territory of Israel, this is closest to my heart, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing. This is the closest to my heart, that city called Jerusalem, because that's where God is going to put his king as ruler over the earth. Satan knows it, so this becomes important real estate. He doesn't just shrug it off and say, well, I don't care about that. And he'll get as far as getting his man and his image in that temple and take control over Jerusalem. But it will be very brief. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. That's Armageddon. I read Zechariah 12:3. All this stuff is scattered throughout the Old Testament prophets and other places and in the New Testament. The big challenge is to put it all together. I'm trying, and I thank you for your prayers. It all comes incrementally. You have kind of a foundation, and then you build on that and add details. Now I am praying, if there's any more details we can plug in and see a clearer picture of various things, I'm here. I'm running around looking for something. I may have a question about something. Boom. So in our analysis here, the God's announcement out of heaven, get out of here. Do not become a participant in her sins. Even a believer who has participated in American lifestyle with the particular sins of indulgence, putting materialism ahead of everything. If it's just that, you know, you participated. But now these sins have a boomerang effect, the wrath of God, so that you don't participate in that part of it, the judgment part. Get out. Relocate. You don't want to participate in her sins, and it'd be like somebody that's involved with others that are evil or corrupt, and they break from it, and they get the hell away from it, and turn to God. You know anybody that's been in Bible class that's turned back into this mess? If you get any kind of an opportunity, encourage them and exhort them to get back where it matters. There's nothing out there that's worth it. Nothing. Whatever your lust pattern is. You want to destroy yourself spiritually? Wind up with no crown? And God knows what else is going to happen to you? I'm not asking you to run anybody down, but if you get a chance to talk sense to anybody, do it. And receive of her plagues, for her sins have piled as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. God has a good memory. He keeps tabs. Of course, He's always known it. But the country had to come into existence and commit this level of sinning and this historical sinning and build it all the way up. Pay her back even as she is paid. We've done some very awful things as a nation that have hurt other peoples. All in the name of whatever. I can remember what the Bush number one. We're going to go to war in the Middle East. We're building a new world order. 1,000 points of light. What the blank is that language about? And so you went in there, and the country that hadn't attacked you had done anything to you. Right around the time of the 9/11 event, there's another story. There's another headline of sins. False flag operations. Those are pretty sick, aren't they? Well, we're not the first country to do false flag operations. They figured this out way back when. Make it look like the enemy did it to us so we can go to war with them because we have an objective. We'll sink our own ship and kill our own people in the Havana Harbor so we can expand American imperialism to South America and have war with Spain. Remember the Maine. Teddy Roosevelt. Everybody, yeah, yeah. And the damn thing was blown up from the inside out. People investigate crimes. This is what happened. No, that can't be. The physical evidence doesn't match. Here we go again. The physical evidence doesn't match. We've drug it up off of the bottom. We killed our own men. Sunk our own ship. So we could send more people off to war to get killed. And beat ourselves on the chest and have a big damn parade. And hand out medals to people. Ex-vet. Rah, 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 rah. And you were clueless. We knew the Japanese were coming at Pearl too. We broke the code. The book is a takeoff of Roosevelt's Day of Infamy. The book's in, I think it's in, I got it in the library. It's written by a naval officer, United States naval officer. It's not, you know, day of deceit. And we let those guys out there on a pretty Sunday afternoon get attacked and not ready. Yes, the Japs were coming, but they just left them out there on the ground. They sunk ships and all the rest of it. An act of war. But we could have blunted it if we were out there and facing it. We were caught flat-footed. Our military, our naval people, on that pretty day, and the planes coming over and boom, 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 boom. We broke their code. So the traitors in the high places didn't tell them. These are the kind of things that I've mentioned from time to time, and I haven't even scratched the surface. I couldn't. Of the shenanigans, the corruptions, behind the scenes, the planning, the manipulating, the rigging of elections. You can't even imagine all this stuff. And we're out here beating our chests and shutting off fireworks, waving flags all over, like a religion. Give her back double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. So we have two cups, and here's the cup of spreading American ideology and concepts. And the nations have imbibed to their hurt. They have not remained typically aloof from it. They've been influenced by it. Ending up this particular verse, let you go, here on page 11, point 11. The rider on the white horse pretended righteousness. Is America with its peculiar brand of conquest? The violence and misery perpetrated upon the inhabitants of the earth due to American foreign policy will be paid back as part of divine retribution. Now that's just one part of the judgment that will come on us. A detailed understanding of things would say, oh, that happened as a result of that, which America was behind. This concoction is first and foremost her foreign policy, combining economic incentives with military adventurism. The carrot and stick approach is seen in our dealings with the nations. Double discipline is the form of nuclear annihilation and total ban on human occupation of this continent, even on into the millennium. This country will be off limits, the territory, the very ground. That wasn't true of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can still go down there. I did. Jumped in one of their water. Well, God's going to restore that place to its pristine glory that it had in the day of Abraham and Lot before those balls came out of the sky and wiped it out in 1 hour one day. They even got warning discipline. They didn't take it to heart. They went back to the same version of this corrupt sexual perversity. So we deal with American sins, both the domestic, from the average person, to the foreign, to the leaders, to the entertainers, to whatever it is, to the academic institutions, perpetrating certain types of ideas. So you can get a degree. I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm just saying that there's a lot that isn't. Double discipline is based on the principle, to whom much is given, much is required. You've heard that one over and over. We have been blessed of God with a lot of things, and we've abused it. It'd be like if you came into some wealth or something and you just went out and abused it. You just indulged yourself to the exclusion of helping other believers and supporting your local church. And that's all you did. But there are believers like that. They'll give their time, they'll give this, but not a damn dollar. And if it is, it's just a token amount. It doesn't even begin to match their salary. And that's what they think of Bible doctrine. We are told that, you know, even a poor person, if they give a certain percentage, it's considered liberal in the good sense. And some people with money, they'll squeeze it like you can't believe. They'll throw some token amount in. He who gives grudgingly will reap grudgingly little. He who is generous will reap accordingly. We have the example of Job. He was always there to help somebody in need, share something before he ever became a rich man. And when he became a rich man, he went to the aid of the oppressed in his town. Like a widow being abused by some landlord thing. He stood in for her. America has abused its freedoms and prosperity. The nation has been hijacked by her merchants. Verse 23. The cup analogy echoes Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. What's that tell me? Jesus Christ controls American history. Intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.